We continue our mixtape message series where we are taking secular songs and unpacking the theology in each of them each week. A couple weeks ago, we started with a song from Sia. Last week, we did a song from the Avett Brothers. This week, we're going to be spending some time talking about Justin Bieber's song Purpose. Next week, we're going to be doing a song from Kansas entitled Wayward Son. So I hope it's been fun for you. It's certainly been fun for us to kind of talk about and spend a little time with. But before we go any further, I'm gonna pray. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks that you're present with us. We pray that you would continue to help us to be present with you. And so we ask it that if, even just for a moment, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice and the things that you would have for us. So we pray that your spirit would be our guide and our filter, that all the other noise that we might be able to set off to the side and hear from you. And so open our hearts and our minds to those things. We pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that it might be fresh and new. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So the idea behind the series is that we could take secular things and begin to think about how we might engage them as Christians. I believe that if you call yourself a Christian, then you are called to be a theologian. That each of us is tasked with engaging things theologically. So whatever it's a particular type of music you listen to or a movie that you're watching or a book that you're reading or whatever it is, that you and I, if you call yourself a Christian, that we are engaging those things theologically, which simply means that we're thinking about God and God's relation to the world. And so if you are someone who claims to follow Christ, that you can then find ways that God shows up even in what might be labeled or called the secular. All right, we can take lyrics from a Justin Bieber song where he says, feeling like I'm breathing my last breath, feeling like I'm walking my last steps, thinking my journey's come to an end, sending out a farewell to my friends. We can take words like that and some of us this morning perhaps are even sitting here going, I'm kind of feeling like I'm there. Kind of feeling like I don't know what my purpose is in life. I'm trying to find meaning in life and I'm struggling to find it. And it's almost as if I'm taking these last breaths or these last steps. I just don't know. Right? We can engage a song that might otherwise be considered secular and then find ways in which God shows up. And I think sometimes as Christians, we get afraid of the secular because, what if God shows up in some way? What if some truth comes through a Justin Bieber song, which sounds really weird to say, right? But what if that happens? Now, as Christians, we know that truth, regardless of where it shows up, comes from the one who is truth, who is the creator of truth. And so we have no fear knowing where that truth might show up. He goes on, I put my heart into your hands, learn the lessons that you teach, no matter when, wherever I am, you're not hard to reach. And you've given me the best gift that I could ever know. You've given me purpose. How many of us this morning are sitting here going, I'm trying to find purpose. I'm trying to find meaning. I thought I had it. I thought I had it figured out. And now I'm left sitting here again trying to figure out what is the purpose of it all. Now, as we go and we spend a little time talking about purpose and meaning, I think a couple things that are important to kind of lay out as some groundwork. One, I don't believe that humankind is the center of it all. I don't believe that the universe revolves around us, which is, I believe, contrary to what culture might suggest. It's about you. It's about yours. Get yours when you want it, how you want it. It's about me. I don't believe that the universe revolves around me. As much as it would be convenient, and I might appreciate or enjoy that, I don't think that that's the case. I don't believe that God exists for us. I don't believe that we exist for our own sake. I don't believe that we've been created primarily that we might love God, but rather that we've been created that primarily God might love us. C.S. Lewis talks about that in his book, The Problem of Pain. And so this morning, when we talk about meaning and we talk about purpose, I want to highlight a couple of points for you. One, I believe that God's purpose will always involve his presence. God's purpose will always involve his presence. We just finished doing a message series a couple of weeks ago through, we journeyed through the book of James. And James chapter 4, verse 8, talks about how if we draw near to God, that God will draw near to us. God's purpose will always involve his presence. His purpose will never send you away from his presence. Now, we're going to talk about God's purpose here in just a little bit, how God's purpose does send us somewhere, but he never sends us alone. He will never send us away from his presence. And he's calling us into his presence that we might then go out with it. At the end of the Great Commission and the end of Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus telling us, now go, now send out, he's sending us, now go and make disciples. And as you do that, know that I will always go with you. God's purpose will always include his presence. Now, I want to talk about purpose, if I can, in two kind of ways, a daily purpose and a divine purpose. Daily purpose, you know well. You might kind of, it's just survival, sort of, right? It's like, I'm going to go to my job, I'm going to do my thing so that I can pay my bills, and I'm going to care for my loved ones, right? Daily purpose, just trying to survive today, doing whatever we do. Divine purpose, I believe, the divine purpose that God gives you and gives me is to love God with everything we got, everything we are, and to love others. Now, Jesus says this when he says in Matthew's gospel, he says it this way. Jesus says, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I paraphrase that to say, love God with everything you got and everything you are. And then he says, love your neighbor as self. Well, we know that later as we understand Jesus' teaching, that neighbor means is defined by anyone and everyone that we come in contact with. God's divine purpose is that you would love God with everything you got, everything you are, and that you would love others. Now, I believe that when we can approach our daily purpose, I'm going to go to my job, I'm going to pay my bills, I'm going to care for my loved ones, or I'm going to fill in the blank, right? Whatever your daily purpose is of survival. I believe that when we can approach our daily purpose through the lens and perspective of our divine purpose, that now our daily purposes even take on greater depth and meaning. For some of us this morning, as we sit here and we think about what is the meaning of it, what's my purpose in life, we've kind of narrowed our purpose into these daily purpose kind of things. Well, I got to pay my bills, I'm going to care for my loved ones, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do that. I believe that our daily purpose without the divine purpose will eventually run out and then leave us questioning our purpose in life. Daily purpose without divine purpose will eventually leave us questioning our purpose. It doesn't mean that the daily purposes are bad, so don't hear that. Don't hear that going to your job, doing your things that you need to do, paying your bills, caring for your loved ones, those are not bad things. But sometimes jobs change. Sometimes we lose jobs. Sometimes we lose loved ones. Loved ones that we're caring for some time, and then they're gone. And then we're left with going, now what? Now what do I do? This was my purpose for so long, and now I don't know what my purpose is. Daily purpose without divine purpose will leave us questioning our purpose in life. But if we can begin to see our daily purposes through the filter of the divine purpose of loving God with all that we are and all that we have, and loving neighbor as self, that now all of a sudden those daily tasks that we do, here's my daily purpose, they now take on greater depth and meaning. And there in that divine purpose, we find meaning. We find the purpose to keep going. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. You'll see the words on the screen here. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 17 and 18. And as you're turning there, I want to read from Proverbs. If you're taking notes, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Perhaps spend some time with it throughout the week. The writer of Proverbs says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. How often have you and I had these plans of, here's what my day is going to look like, here's what I'm doing, here's my life. Some of you are so skilled in being the planner type, not necessarily my skill set, but I can look at some of you and immediately you come to mind as the planners. You have planned and mapped out your life. Like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then life. And then sometimes God shows up and throws a monkey wrench into your plans. And the writer of Proverbs speaks to that. Many are the plans that we have, but it'll be God's purpose that prevails. Writer of Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 6, looking at verses 17 and 18, I'm reading from the NIV this morning. The writer says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. I believe that one of God's divine purposes for you and for me is that we would have hope and that we would be hope. That we would find the hope in the one who has promised that he is faithful, and that in that hope, we might also then be hope. There's been a lot of events that's taken place in the last week that continue, again, remind us the need for hope in our community, and in our world. I have no doubt that you have relationships, coworkers, family, neighbors, who are desperately in need of and looking for hope. I believe that one of God's divine purposes for you is that you would have hope, that you might also be hope. Turn a little bit to your left, 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're still there in Hebrews. A little bit to your left, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. You'll see the words on the screen. Paul writes in his letter to Timothy, verse 9, chapter 1, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death. There's the hope. There is hope in the message that God has destroyed death. Regardless of how death shows up, whether it's someone who is sick and evil and comes in and kills a bunch of people, or whether you have a loved one who has been battling an illness and has lost that battle in this place and time, that there is hope in that message that God has destroyed death. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God's divine purpose is that you would have hope, that you would be hope, and that you would live a holy life. That you would be perfected in your love for God, loving God with all that you've got, all that you are, and love for other. God's purpose, his divine purpose for you and for me, is that we would live lives that are holy. Now, I don't know if it's still sort of a craze. There was a craze for a while. It seemed like there were all sorts of shows on TV that were about survival, right? There was, is Survivor the game? Is that show still going? It's got to be on its like 37th season or something crazy, right? So you got shows like, I would call it a game show. You got like game shows like Survivor. You've watched Discovery Channel, National Geographic. You got the shows where they take the individual or the two individuals, they drop them into the remote wilderness somewhere, and they're like, you got to survive for X number of days, right? Tell me, what are some of the keys to, this is where we can have some interaction. What are some of the keys, if you've ever seen any of those shows, what are some of the keys to survival? Like, what are the, some of the first things that are like, okay, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. Talk. Blah. What? Okay, I heard water. Okay, water, shelter, fire, food. Okay, right. I mean, those are sort of the basics, right? Water, shelter, food, fire. Think of the image where there are times when I've seen some of those shows, and I kind of like those shows, right? Especially when they're based in Alaska. Like, I want to move to Alaska. My wife won't go with me, so I'm not going to go to Alaska. But then, like, the wilderness shows where it's like survival in Alaska, to me, is like the perfect show. I could watch that for too long. And you always see in those shows where if it's two individuals or one individual, they'll say, okay, here's our agenda for the day of survival, our daily purpose today. And they'll mark out some time to say, we've got to have fire. Fire is going to provide us security. It's going to perhaps even be a means in which we're going to drink water, that we'll have drinkable water. We've got to have fire. It's going to prepare some food for us, perhaps, if we can find any. So they'll say, okay, I'm going to go and get some firewood, and I'll go find some kindling. And I want you to think about, keep that image of kindling in particular in your mind. Now, if you're taking notes, you don't have to turn there. In Exodus chapter 3, we read of Moses' encounter with a bush. And the bush is on fire, and the bush doesn't burn up. And so he walks over to the bush, and he's like, this is crazy. I'm going to check this out. And it wasn't so much that the bush was on fire that was crazy, but the fact that it was not being consumed by the fire is really what got Moses' attention. And he walks over, and then all of a sudden, out of the bush, he hears the voice of God. And God speaks to Moses, and he says, hey, heads up. The place that you're standing is holy ground. Moses says, my bad. Takes his sandals off, which is why I can wear flip-flops and argue to you that it is a biblical thing to wear. Jesus wore sandals, so you can take that up with my wife. Let her know that, okay? So he comes to this bush, and he hears God say, you're standing on holy ground. And he says, now I want to give you purpose. Moses, the purpose that I'm giving you that is going to change the direction of your life is that I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to free my people from slavery and oppression in Egypt. And in that moment, this holy ground moment that Moses has with God is a purpose-defining moment for Moses' life. What would it look like if you think about your meaning and purpose in life? What would it look like for you if your purpose was to simply be kindling in the hands of God? What if God has some sort of divine fire of love and hope that he wants to use you to ignite in your community, in our city, in your relationships? What would it look like for you and your purpose? What if your purpose is to be kindling in the hands of God? I wonder if we might do that, if we might become kindling in the hands of God. I wonder if that might even give us greater purpose than your profession, than your parenting, than your singleness, than your marriedness, than your self-image, than your credentials, than your expertise, than your passions, that you and I simply being kindling in the hands of God might be greater purpose than all of those things, than any of those things. All of those things can be good and meaningful things, but that divine purpose of being God's kindling brings greater depth and meaning even to those things. Now, what's great about the story of Moses is that he meets God in this burning bush moment, and he says, Moses, I want you to be kindling in my hands. I am going to start a great fire of love and hope and freedom in you and through you, but you can't stay here. I mean, Moses could have been like, wow, this is crazy. This bush, it's not burning. and God is talking to me from this bush. Like, this is an awesome moment. I could stay here in the presence of God forever. And yet God says, and later in verse 10, God says to Moses, now go. Here's your purpose. Now take your purpose and go. Jesus says, now go and make disciples. Here's your purpose. Here's your divine purpose, to love God with everything you got, everything you are, and to love others as yourself. Now go and do it. It's important for us to recognize and remember those times where those holy ground moments in your life. Some of you might be able to sit here this morning and you can think of moments where you've had these holy ground moments where you felt like you were in the presence of God and you didn't really want to leave. But eventually God is going to say, go. Your purpose is to go. I want to start a great fire of love and hope with you and through you, but you got to go and be my kindling somewhere else. God already had the fire going with the bush and his encounter with Moses. He didn't need Moses to start the bush on fire. God had already taken care of that there in that place. So then he says, Moses, now go. What's it look like for you and for me when we think about and we wrestle with purpose? What does it look like for you and for me to pursue God's divine purpose in our lives? What does it look like and mean for you and for me if we would say, you know, I'm not even really sure what my purpose is, but if I was willing to say, I'm just going to be kindling in your hands. God, start whatever divine fire of love and hope that you want to with me, wherever you might send me, because I can't just stay here, but that I got to go. How might that define your purpose? How might that change the way that you and I encounter our daily lives? If we look at it through the perspective of our divine purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you have given us a divine purpose, that it's so much greater than the plans that we have or that we thought, and that you're going to do infinitely more than we could imagine with us. Lord, we're humbled that you would use even us as a part of your purpose. And we're thankful that your purpose will always include your presence. And so we ask and we pray that you would continue to be with us, that you go before us. And we're humbled that you would use even us, even me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts to the opportunities that